How's it going? And welcome back to On the Wire, a proud member of the Pitcher List Podcast Network. Follow the pod on the Twitter at On the Wire Pod. And if you're listening on a platform that allows ratings and reviews, please take a second to let us know what you think. I am Adam Howe, and as always, I am joined by the 2020 TGFBI champion, Kevin Hastin. Kevin, no. I'd like to thank you directly for your cutline fab advice. I spent about 65% of my budget and filled all my zeros and all around pretty happy with who I got. Now I just need to claw my way out of, I think, 11th place in my league and get into playoff contention. How'd your bids go last week?
Pretty well. Sticking with the plan so far early in the season, being fairly conservative. I was not in a cut line league this season. Several best balls, but none that have the couple of fab components throughout the year. However, exactly what you did, I firmly believe is the way to go. In that best ball format, you really need every player on your roster other than maybe a stash or two that you're hoping comes up before the next fab period in June, scoring points each week, because you never know when your main guys are going to have a slump or be injured and you need guys scoring points. So I think filling the zeros and having a little bit of money left to do the same thing again at the second fab period is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, I'll correct myself. I filled all my zeros except for one. And one of those is one of those aforementioned stashes that you talked about. Somebody, yeah, I know we'll talk about a little bit later in the podcast. And luckily we have with us a great guest to help us talk about that. We are joined today by Shelley Verstrait. Shelley, of course, one of the managers here with Pitcher List and also the managing editor at the Dynasty Guru, and can be heard regularly on their podcast, Dynasty's Child, as well as writing and podcasting regularly with On the Monster. Shelley is competing in her first year of Tout Wars, joining last week's guest, Tim McLeod, in the Mixed League Draft. And we'll ask her a little bit about that as well. You should already be following Shelley for not only her excellent prospect rankings and insight, but also for great baking tips and dog photos over at ShelleyV_643. Look for the direct link to all of her work in the show description. And lucky for us, we get to talk to Shelley here just as the player time manipulation day has passed. So looking forward to getting her insight along with this week's fab suggestions. Shelley, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. That was a great intro. Hey, Kevin. Hey, Adam. This is going to be a really great episode, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I can't wait. We did only one prospect-centric episode during the offseason. So this is our first one where that's our main topic, talking about the prospect time manipulation date, or the Chris Bryant treatment, if you will. So I'm really looking forward to it myself. And before we get into that, let's get through some of the news and notes for the week that might affect your fab bidding. As I said last week with Tim, I'm just going to go through these really quickly back and forth between the two of you guys and get your opinions on what we've seen and how it might affect your bidding this weekend. So first and foremost, Kevin, Fernando Tatis returns to the Padres lineup with Manny Machado. But Manny Machado is dealing with the lower back tightness and left shoulder discomfort after Friday's game. No word if he'll be rested. And I haven't checked today's lineup, to be honest, to see if he's in there. We are recording this Saturday evening, but it's something to monitor. If Machado misses any time to recover, even if it's just a couple days, who do you like to get a couple extra days worth of playing time in San Diego?
I think it will continue to be Kim. He started 9 of the last 10 games, including a game or two before Tatis went down. He's off to a slow start, but I think we got to give him a pass. He's not just going to a new team. He's in a brand new country. I think most agree that he should get it going at some point. But it's a little sidetracking already this early in the show from the question you asked. But the player on that team that is performing well and is still relatively low owned, 22% in Yahoo leagues anyway, is Jurickson Profar, almost 300 plus 9 walks. So his OBP is almost 400 and 3 stolen bases. No home runs yet, but we have seen 20 home run power in a couple of seasons from him. So if I were in a 12-team league looking for an outfielder, he's definitely on my radar.
Double checking, Machado is starting tonight, Saturday night, at third base. And Profar also in the lineup starting at first base. So I've noticed Profar starting a lot more as well, or at least getting into a lot of games this season. That's been interesting. I've waned off of Profar as of recent couple years, but it's interesting if he gets the playing time, that's somebody definitely to monitor. All right, staying on the West Coast in LA, Cody Bellinger has a hairline fracture in his left fibula, not just a calf issue. AJ Pollock is nursing a groin issue, and Gavin Lux is nursing his sore wrist. Edwin Rios and Zach McKinstry continue to see added playing time in the lineup because of these injuries and others. Shelley, do you trust either one of them to pick up? You trust either one of these guys enough to pick them up in 12 teamers? And how worried are you about these three injuries in LA?
100%. I do just go pick up Zach McKinstry. He is basically just the glue guy that honestly is just really just helping this Dodgers lineup. The Dodgers lineup is totally stacked. But whoever seems to be hurt, whether it's Mookie Betts, Gavin Lux, Pollock, just whomever is hurt, McKinstry just fills and just totally just goes gangbusters. This is a guy, if everyone is healthy, then yes, he's going to lose playing time. But the Dodgers lineup has not been healthy. So go pick up McKinstry. He is just absolutely killing it right now. And I love him. Like, unfortunately, I did not bid for him in Tout Wars last week, but no one else did. So I need some help. So I'm hoping no one in my Tout Wars league is actually listening to this. And I am putting in a lot of fab dollars to pick up McKinstry just to help with my offense.
Yeah, McKinstry started at second base yesterday. He is in the lineup again tonight playing right field. Kevin, you have any thoughts on this situation?
I agree 100%. And I do think he will continue to get playing time throughout the season. So far, it's been due to injury, but we know how the Dodgers operate. They'd like to move guys around. Chris Taylor and Kike Hernandez were both large parts of that team for a couple of years. And now Kike Hernandez is gone to Boston. McKinstry can fill that role. And they have a lot of guys that I don't see Justin Turner. Gavin Lux has a banged up wrist. I would expect him to be okay. Pollock, we know, has struggled with injuries the past few seasons. Mookie Betts, if I'm not mistaken, this is a back issue. Those can linger. We're seeing that with Yelich right now. So the playing time will be there. When you're slugging .651 and have three home runs and 13 RBI and 46 plate appearances, you're not going to sit very often, even for the Dodgers. And I got to throw out Adam Lawler. He gave us his name a couple of months ago. And quite frankly, at that time, I had not heard of Zach McKinstry. And he said at that time that he thought the Dodgers might like him better than Gavin Lux. And I can see why.
All right. Again, staying in the NL West, Johnny Cueto will miss at least two starts, forcing Gabe Kapler to put Logan Webb back in the rotation after he was pulled in favor of Alex Wood this past week. Kevin, do you have any interest in picking Webb back up in leagues where he was recently dropped?
I don't think so. And it's not him. It's the Giants' schedule. It looks like he's lining up to pitch Tuesday at Philadelphia. I don't think I would use him there. The problem is, we'll know closer to time, but it might be a two-start week. He might get Miami on Sunday. And if that were to happen, then that's a really tough decision. If he doesn't get that Sunday start, then he's going to line up for a two-start week where he'll get the Rockies at home in San Francisco, which is great, but then have to pitch at San Diego later in the week if he's still in the rotation. I don't see myself using him, so I'm not going to waste the money.
All right, I think that's fair. Shelley, I noticed that Michael King was called up for the Yankees, presumably to take the roster spot of Domingo Germán, who was sent down to the alternate site recently. From what I can tell, he's not slated to start any games yet for the Yankees, but is he worth a look, assuming he gets plugged back into the back end of the rotation? And follow-up question, why not Devi Garcia?
I really don't know. I'm not the biggest Michael King fan. I think that he's just an okay guy. But why is it not Debbie Garcia? Why is it not Domingo Herman? I know that they demoted Herman back to the alternate site because they didn't really have a spot for him, like with the fifth starter thing. So yeah, I don't know. And I honestly would not take a gamble on Michael King. I just think that really he's just not startable in really any type of 12 team, 15 team type league. Yeah, I have no idea what the Yankees are doing. As a Red Sox fan, I'm fine with them just doing weird things. So,
hey, I'm in the same boat. There you go. All right. In Atlanta, Drew Smyly was placed on the 10-day IL with left forearm inflammation. Kyle Wright was recalled to take his place in the rotation. As someone who has drafted Wright myself in a few places and has since dropped him in a couple, Kevin, should I be hurrying to the wire to pick him back up?
I don't know about hurrying, but I would consider it. That's a pretty decent start, I think. You know, only 4 1/3, but it was 78 pitches. The two runs he gave up were on a home run to Wilson Contreras, who had another today and is off to a nice start. One of the few Cubs prior to today that had been hitting. Him and Chris Bryant, I believe, were the only two. And then he did have the 5 strikeouts, only a couple of walks, and he's going to start this week versus the Diamondbacks. That's a nice start. We'll have to see what happens from there if Smyly comes back. But I don't think he'll be very expensive, and I like this start against the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I think that's something we're probably going to say for the foreseeable future is I like that start against the Diamondbacks. So that's
they're streaky, though. Once in a while, they can put up a few and sting you.
All right. Unfortunately, we have another IL stint. Christian Yelich, who hasn't played since April 11th, was officially placed on the IL by the Brewers this Saturday. Shelley, do you see anything actionable from the Brewers' outfield beyond knowing that if you roster Yelich, you can finally put him on the bench because he's not going to play?
Yeah, I don't think so. You have JBJ who's like filling in. Billy McKinney has been interesting. I heard that he was doing like some really good things at the alternate site. I added him in maybe like some of my deeper leagues as like a flyer. Other than McKinney, I don't really know what we can do there. Unfortunately, I love the Brew Crew, but their bench and like upper minors options is really shallow. So I don't know what you can really add there.
Yeah, they went into the season, I felt like, with a deeper than they needed to have outfield, obviously with the signing of JBJ. And that's really being tested in the early going with obviously Yelich going on the IL and Lorenzo Cain and others, obviously Colin Wong in the infield. So a lot of tests happening in Milwaukee as well. McKinney has started in left field the last 3 games, including today. So definitely an option, especially as a lefty bat in the lower half of the middle of that order in Milwaukee. Even though the stadium has changed names, it still plays the same. So it's still a good place to hit. And we won't even get into what the name of that stadium is because nobody wants to acknowledge that. All right. And then finally, unfortunately, we have more news breaking earlier today of a possible COVID outbreak in Minnesota. Kyle Garlick was tested positive for Minnesota. And there is a growing concern that there may be a larger outbreak coming within the organization. Kevin, how does this affect your FAB bids in a general sense, whether or not the Twins miss more games as their game today was postponed, like the Nationals earlier in the season, versus if they still play their games, just missing a bunch of their core players like the Astros did or are doing right now?
Either way, it's a huge concern, right? We still haven't heard anything from the Astros. I was hopeful some of these guys might be back right away, like Josh Dalmont was for the Royals last week. He was reinstated less than 24 hours after being placed on the IL. That hasn't happened, and we haven't gotten any news. So maybe they're going to be out the entire 10 games. The part of what you just said that is the most concerning is growing concern that there may be a larger outbreak coming. The timing's horrible for us as fantasy players. We have to make decisions tomorrow evening, and I think we have to start preparing for not having any Twins available for the upcoming week until we hear different.
definitely something to monitor. And also, if as they start next week off against the A's, I'm going to want to look at your roster if you have any A's on your roster as well, especially when you're considering fab bids this weekend. If you have guys on your roster you can drop, great. But if not, you got to stash them, especially in an NFBC league. You're not going to drop certain guys off the A's if you have, you know, Matt Chapman and what have you. You're going to have to find some guys to fill in those holes without like losing those bats. All right, that's going to do it for our news and notes. Like I usually say, I'm sure we missed some stuff. We only have so much time to go through this. And we try to keep our news relevant to what's going to affect your bidding in FAB. And so we're going to move on to our main topic before we get into our discussion of suggested bidding. And that is the time manipulation date, supposedly of April 16th, this past Friday, has passed. And so we want to talk to, we brought Shelly on specifically to talk about this. And we're curious to see if you have, Shelly, if you have any names of players you expect to come up soon, getting the, not exactly the Chris Bryant treatment since they would have gotten called up either yesterday or today, but it's coming up very soon. I think some of the big names people are expecting, Jared Kelenic, always, and Andrew Vaughn would have been on that list if he didn't make the opening day roster. But there's always going to be a couple other guys that kind of sneak through in the next week or two. And if there was a time to get your early bids on now, throw in $1, $2, $3, what have you, this is the time to do it before they actually get the call. And we have another Fabapalooza with a couple of guys coming up in the same week. Shelly, is there anybody that kind of stands out the most that people should really be throwing their speculative bids on this week, assuming that they'll be able to help their roster within the next week or two?
Yeah, there's definitely one guy that when he came to me, like, yeah, you want to come on this episode? And it wasn't Jerry Kelenic, because I do think that Jerry Kelenic, I have him stashed in places. So I think a lot of teams still have him stashed. But Mika Werner, I thought that the Cubs were going to break spring training with him on the team, but they decided to go with David Bodie and Eric Sogard, which totally shocked me because it really makes no sense. They're not really the great, to put it kindly, they're not really that great. And then they had a, at least with David Bodie, he had a good spring training. So I'm like, okay, if you really want to squint and make that work. But both of them have just basically just did a faceplant in the outfield. Like, both of them have not done well. And I really do believe in Nico Horner's bat. I think that he can put a really good average together. I don't think there's a lot of power and maybe not a lot of speed. There is just a really good bat there. And obviously, the Cubs need it because they are struggling when it comes to offense. So I really do think, and I hope, that Nico Horner will get that call super duper soon. It really pains me that the Cubs are playing these games with Nico Horner when their offense is just awful. And then, like, another guy, Jerry Kelenic, if he is still available, stash him. I do think that he is coming up very soon. That dude can hit, and he's going to be so much fun when he comes up. Yeah, I'm so excited to see him. And then a pitcher for the Phillies. We saw him last year. I think that he was on the extended roster for the Phillies. Spencer Howard. Matt Moore hasn't looked great. And I really do trust Spencer Howard. And I love his talent. His velo's up. He dealt with injuries last year, and he's not dealing with that right now. So I really do think that he can come up and be a really interesting starter going forward.
Yeah, I have Kelenic myself stashed in at least two, maybe three leagues. I have no interest in dropping him as well. I think I have him in my TGFBI league. So he is just keeping the bench warm until I get all the highlight reels on that team. And I need it in my outfield there. So not somebody I would recommend dropping. Especially for those, like you said, Shelly, he was drafted across the board in just about every format this past draft season. And people paid a pretty penny to draft him, anywhere between, I saw tweets out there, somebody getting him in the top 120 picks all the way up to the 200 range. as well. So somewhere in that 100 to 200 range, those aren't guys you just drop after your first month of the season. I think you usually wait, unless there's an injury or something obvious. Those aren't guys that you want to draft. You want to drop anyway. Kelenic should not be the exception to that rule. Nico Horner, I like that suggestion. The Cubs would have to do a lot of correct me if I'm wrong, but they would have to do a lot of manipulation to get that extra year, as he's got, I think it's 68 games already under his belt over the course of the last two seasons. And that would be just, if we don't see Horner back up in Chicago until, say, August, that would just be a detriment to everybody involved. So, yeah, I like, they have no reason not to just bring him back. His clock's running. I like the pick, and you might as well, you know, get what you can out of him. And he's not playing right now either. There's no games happening. He might be able to do something at the alternate site and get some work in. These are types of guys that if they want to get real work in, real games, got to bring out now. Like, that's the only place that they're happening. So a couple of guys that we got some questions about that I wanted to pick your guys' brains about. That I think that in a typical situation, you wouldn't necessarily expect to see them up. But with all the hype, I'm going to start with a guy we brought up in a previous podcast, and that's Bobby Witt Jr. of Kansas City. A lot of hype around him in spring training. Will he, won't he actually break camp, even though he hasn't played any official games past rookie ball the year he was drafted, with no games actually happening last year. So, Kevin, have you, I know you were driving, you were at least co-driving the train earlier in the offseason. Do you see, have you seen or heard anything change in that realm as far as, do you expect Bobby Witt to be up this year? And if so, when?
That's the thing. We haven't seen anything, and we won't until the 1st of May with the minor league season not having started, and they're at the alternate site. And we've talked in past episodes, I think for in some organizations, guys like Bobby Witt Jr. might be developing better at the alternate site. We talked about that a little bit with the more experienced coaching and things like that going on. I think the issue with Bobby Witt Jr. right now is, one, he's not hitting for any power and he's not stealing bases, but the Royals love Nicky Lopez's defense, and he is actually at least getting on base and contributing a little bit. He did not last year. He did not in the spring. He was sent down before the season started with the injury to Adalberto Mondesi. Nicky Lopez was brought back up, and he's been doing exactly what the Royals want him to do: play great defense and not be horrible at the plate. So that is an issue. The other issue that we have seen with the Hunter Dozier injury is banged up thumb, and he's been back in the lineup, but between him missing a few games and once again the Mondesi injury, is Hanser Alberto performs great when against left-handed pitching, and he's been in there for every left-handed starter they faced. So these two things are issues. However, the Royals operate a little differently than most major league teams, and they have stated that the players will tell them when they're ready by their performance on the field. They have operated that way in the past. And if Bobby Witt Jr. performs as he did last spring, last summer, and this spring, when the minor league season gets underway, I believe we're going to see him this season. When? I don't know. But once you get down the road far enough, why not wait till the end of June? So that's...
Well, because bashing him in like three leagues, Kevin, that's what you're doing.
Exactly. Exactly. We got really hopeful. They kept making cuts in the spring, and he kept leading off in the lineup every day. So we're very hopeful. And especially then with the Mondesi injury. But like I said, the performances of Nicky Lopez and Alberto are as great as it is for the Royals, is bad for fantasy owners that are stashing Bobby Witt Jr.
Shelley, do you have any thoughts on the Bobby Witt situation and whether or not, what's your gut say as far as like when/if Bobby Witt will see time in Kansas City this year?
Yeah, sadly, I agree with Kevin. Just believe me, I know. Like, just watching Bobby Witt Jr. this spring, it was super fun. And I bought him a couple of leagues, but I dropped him that first fab period, like right before the season ended. Because I'm just like, okay, so you have Mondesi, you have Lopez there. You still kept Hanso Alberto. And I'm just like, I don't really know, unless there's like catastrophic injuries to all of those guys, I don't really see where Witt Jr. really comes up in the first couple of months, because we got that entire month where he's not playing in games and he didn't really hit outside the AZL. So this is like a really, it would have been just crazy if he were to break with the team. So yeah, I think it's going to be a while. And if you still have him stashed and you need that roster spot, sadly, I think it's okay to drop him to get another bench piece.
Yeah, that first fab period of at least a TGFBI, I threw a bid on. He was still available. He wasn't drafted. I threw a bid. It was like a couple bucks. It was 20 bucks, something like that. And I did not win his services. He went for triple digits in that first fab period in my TGFBI league. And then in another one of my NFBC 12 teamers, he was picked up as well. And so I was a little surprised to see him go for so much for a stash. But the hype at that time, the hype was still strong across the industry, if you will. And so I guess not too surprised.
Yeah, he had made his way through a couple of the cuts that the Royals made, sending players to the alternate site at that time. And that brings up a question that I have for Shelley. It's not just Bobby Witt Jr., but some of these other guys. A guy I drafted in an NFBC league, so he is available, unlike other prospects, is Joe Adell. And with us going a full month without really having any idea what they're doing, how they're performing, are we just stuck until we start seeing minor league games in May? Or is there some way we can get some news on how these guys are doing and maybe know in NFBC we can grab these guys if they were drafted and dropped? Is there a way we can get some news on when they may be coming?
Yeah, when it comes to Adell, I honestly don't even know if we're going to see him this year, just based on how the Angels manager Joe Maddon was saying, yeah, he needs to be in the minor leagues. He needs to work on his swing. Honestly, I think that we're going to see Brandon Marsh before we see Joe Adell, just because how much Adell struggled and how much, honestly, he does need to work on his swing. I think we see Marsh before Adell. But even that being said, even with the injury to
Dexter Fowler's out for the year.
Yep. Even with the injury to Fowler, I just don't think that the Angels even think that Adell, and even I don't think that they think Brandon Marsh is ready. So I think they're just going to ride with what they're going there, give them some time in the minor leagues to see who is doing better, and then call it up whomever from there.
Yeah, the Angels putting Jared Walsh in right field instead of calling anybody up to replace that missing outfield piece as well. Kind of looks into the brain to Shelley, to your point of where their priorities are as far as calling up these guys just to fill holes. And I think they kind of made that decision partially just based on what they saw Adell do last year. And he was called up to fill a gap, fill a hole, especially with, you know, Justin Upton dealing with injuries previously and what have you. And yeah, I'm total agreement. I don't think they want to rush anything, and they need to see what these guys can do in actual games. So unfortunately, Kevin, I think we're waiting until May. I know a lot of the minor league spring training has started, but I know a lot of the, from what I've heard, a lot of those stadiums are really closed off to the public and to media. And so I think we might just be out of luck. I want to touch on a couple of guys. Shelley, you and I were in the PL, annual PL draft and stash challenge, if you will, and where we draft only rookie eligible players. And the only stats involved are innings pitched and or games played. And so basically it's just, these are guys that we think that are going to, that we thought as a group are going to make their way up to the majors or get a lot of playing time or as much playing time as possible in the majors. So a couple guys in the third round that stood out to me that I wanted to get your take on. I don't believe you drafted any of them. Is Wander Franco, drafted 30th overall. Logan Gilbert, drafted 31st overall. And then Mackenzie Gore, 34th overall in that draft in the third round. Of those three, who's the first? Who do you think is the first one to make a difference? And then the follow-up question is, who do you think sticks around the longest once they're called up?
I say Logan Gilbert for both of those questions. I think that he is going to be coming up soon, probably coming up along with Jerry Kelenic, coming up with probably within the last couple of within a month or two. And I really do think that he is just going to just go gangbusters. I know that the Mariners are doing like a 6-man thing, but even that being said, I love what I saw from him in spring. I love what I saw from him in the minor leagues, 2 years ago, watching him on MILB TV, just everything. I absolutely love. When it comes to Mackenzie Gore, I just don't know. We know that his velo was down last year at the alternate site, and the Padres promoted Luis Patino before him. They promoted Ryan Weathers, who is currently in the Padres starting rotation right now. So I don't know really where I stand with Mackenzie Gore, because it doesn't seem that the Padres they really just want to give him major league time. So if they're concerned, I'm concerned. That's what I say there. But then when it comes to Franco, I just don't think that I don't trust the Rays. They have a really good core of hitters. They have Brasseau. They have, just all of these guys that really can just like fill in the middle infield spots there, that I really don't think that we're going to see him probably until later in the season, if then. I just don't trust the Rays at all. Sadly.
Yeah, that's probably a fair assessment. I made a comment earlier in the offseason, and I kind of doubled down on it by drafting him in this draft. I think that Taylor Walls for Tampa Bay makes more of an impact this year in Tampa than Wander Franco does, just because of his versatility, and the talent's still there with him as well. I have no idea when he might come up. He's going to take probably a couple injuries, but I do believe that Tampa would be more willing to start his clock and not manipulate his time more so than they will Wander's. I don't know.
100% on that, okay. Taylor Walls call.
Right. I think I have him in a DC. So just sitting back, hopefully he comes up and steals a couple bases in the second half of the season for me. All right. And so the last name I wanted to just pick your guys' brain about, and only because with Tatis going down for what was only about a week now, everybody was afraid it was going to be all year. And I think everybody's still afraid it could linger and it can come back pretty easily. I'm not a doctor. I'm not making any assessments here. But there were people wringing their hands that CJ Abrams could possibly make an appearance this year as somebody who could fill in that missing bat in the lineup at the shortstop position, especially if Kim wasn't producing at shortstop. Do either one of you guys think we see CJ Abrams this year? I'll go on. I don't believe I see CJ Abrams in San Diego in 2021 for sure. I don't really think there's a situation where that it calls for that. It have to be pretty dire in my opinion. But have you guys heard anything differently, or do you have feelings in a different direction? Kevin, I'll start with you.
I agree with you. I don't believe we'll see him. Although I would say that if Tatis does end up missing more time eventually and consistent prolonged time, like at some point he re-injures his shoulder and he's out for the year, I think the Padres as an organization will start pondering things they haven't even considered. I would say to this point, 100% with you, they're not even considering Abrams playing this season. However, if injuries press things, it may be something they would consider, but I'd still lean your way on that.
Shelly, do you have any other insight that we might be missing on this?
No, not really. I totally agree with both of y'all. I think it's a very slim chance that we see Abrams in San Diego, unless so many other players gets hurt and they're just throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks. I just don't think that we see him in the majors this year.
It's fair. Any other names out there, Kevin or Shelly, that you think are worth keeping an eye on in the next week or two or even month after the time manipulation date has passed? Or we'll bring this conversation back up probably in about a month and a half as we get closer to the Super 2 deadline, which is not a set date, but you can usually guesstimate when that'll be, sometime in mid to late June, based on previous years. Anybody else that stands up that you guys want to throw out there as somebody to keep on your watch list?
If Spencer Howard is available, maybe in some of your deeper leagues, I would stash him. Matt Moore has not really looked that great for the Phillies, and I still trust Spencer Howard's talents. So if you need some pitching help and you can stash someone, maybe pick him up.
Yeah, I think what's really difficult, as we're going to mention all last year, is with not seeing the minor league games, it's interesting. Lots of times with pitching, it's not the guy we think. And so you can try to keep an eye on things with the pitchers performing in the minor league. So games will get going here in a couple weeks. And I try to keep a really good eye on the pitching and kind of the second and third guys that we think right now, the second and third guys in line for some of these teams, they start really performing. Lots of times they're the guy that we see get the first opportunity.
All right. Really good advice there. Keep an eye on some of these guys down deeper in the 40-man rosters of your favorite teams for future call-ups. All right. So we're going to get into this week's FAB recommendations. As we typically do, we'll go category by category of what you might be looking for, what kind of holes you might be looking to fill this week. And we start off, as usual, with the power department, guys who are going to chip in a couple home runs or in a situation in the lineup maybe to bat in some, get some RBIs for your rosters. Kevin, I'm going to start with you. Give me some guys that kind of stand out to you, regardless of format or league size, that you might be targeting in your leagues.
Yeah, there's three or four guys I think that have some power that can contribute. We talked about the Yelich injury, and that's, at least now we know, as you mentioned, now we know, bench him. I've had him in lineups all week and left him in on Friday thinking, he might not play tonight, but we'll see him Saturday. Same. And Sunday.
Yep.
It's just horrible. But Abisail Garcia has been hitting cleanup. And a couple of home runs, RBIs, scoring runs. He's even got a stolen base. Colin Moran in Pittsburgh is the cleanup hitter on a daily basis. I don't think he's going to continue to hit well over 300, but 250 or so. And he hit 10 home runs in 2020. So he's got 20, 25 home run power. Adam Duvall is a cleanup hitter in Miami a lot of days. Some days he drops to fifth. He's available in some 15-teamers, actually. Not a lot of them, but some. And one other guy, you mentioned Walsh moving to right field with the injuries for the Angels. Albert Pujols is hitting in the middle of the lineup every day.
Yeah, got to get to those milestones. All right, these are all great names. Shelly, anybody else that you might be targeting, whether it be in tout? You've already started talking about McKinstry and hoping nobody's listening. Anybody else that's on your radar, assuming nobody's listening?
No, Colin Moran is actually available in my tout league. I'm also trying to pick him up as well because we saw that he made like a kind of an approach change last year that kind of like really helped with his power output. And it seems to be showing up again. Yeah, the Pirates lineup is not that great, but if you're hitting fourth, even in a bad lineup, that's still totally fine. So yeah, Colin Moran is actually a guy that I'm targeting in a lot of my leagues.
So Kevin,
yeah, the other thing I didn't bring up with Colin Moran, it's very small sample. I think he's got 40 something plate appearances, but his O swing has dropped drastically this this season. So he's not swinging at pitches outside the zone as much either. So should help even more. And maybe part of the batting average gains are real.
So, Kevin, of these guys that you listed, is this a situation where you'd be happy with any of them and you're just throwing a small bit at all of them? Or is there somebody that stands out that you want to make sure you grab?
Yeah, fairly small. Maybe a few extra dollars on Moran, Garcia, Duvall, Pujols would be my order if I really need a hitter and need to make sure I get one of them. But this is only our fourth week of FAB here in the third week of the season. I'm still playing pretty conservative with my FAB dollars, with the exception of I am with Shelley. I throw in a few extra dollars on McKinstry this week where he's available.
Yeah, I was happy to get McKinstry in at least one of my 15 teamers for $20 last week. And so
very nice.
Was NFBC, so he's still only UT only in those leagues. I picked him up in my Dynasty League on Yahoo, so at least he already has outfield eligibility in that one.
Yeah, and I think he would have had it in NFBC if not for Lux's injury. He still has a chance to have it for the coming week, but it's going to be close.
Yeah, it'll be nice to have that flexibility to build, because there's the one league that I picked him up in, I also have JD Martinez, who hopefully will also be getting outfield eligibility in NFBC soon, as he's been playing his regular time in the outfield last year. I think he had six or seven games in the outfield, so he just missed the cutoff. And hopefully he gets a couple more games under his belt in Fenway to get that eligibility out there as well. But I can't play them both at the moment, or I couldn't this weekend. All right, that's nice. All right, so moving on to our speed department. I had a couple of guys I just pulled straight out of my Need for Speed article I put out earlier today on Saturday. Nico Goodrum available or only rostered in 29% of TGFBI league. So he's more than available in 15 teamers and definitely available in your 12 teamer. Nick Ahmed, 44% rostered in TGFBI. So also available in more than half of 15 teamers out there using TGFBI as a kind of a milestone. Those guys I'm looking at with just really good matchups. The Tigers get Pittsburgh coming on, and Jacob Stallings of the Pirates currently leads the league in stolen bases allowed. And so it's somebody I want to pick on the staying in Detroit. Robbie Grossman leading off for the Tigers is available in a good majority of 12 teamers, especially across Yahoo. I believe he's still only like in the single digits roster, which just doesn't make any sense, but he should be available, and he's the better play in obviously a 12 teamer. He's almost guaranteed to be rostered in your 15 teamer, but these are guys that Detroit should be able to utilize in a running capacity against Stallings coming up at the start next week. And then Arizona is facing off against Atlanta. Travis d'Arnaud has a long history of not being able to stop base runners for Atlanta, and currently is in the top five for stolen bases allowed this year as well. So somebody to take advantage of there as well. I was going to, did in my article, recommend Tim LoCastro. And of course, about an hour after that came out, LoCastro, I believe, dislocated one of his fingers as he was caught stealing for the first time in his career, which was really disappointing.
Yeah. That's
but these are guys I'd be willing to throw a couple bucks on.
Yeah, it's really got to suck, like, the first time you ever get caught and then you dislocate your pinky. So it's like a double whammy. that just really just, oh, it's sad for him.
It's adding injury to insult instead of the other way around. Yeah. Oh, that's the worst. Yeah, either one of you guys noticed any? I was having I read this article every week, so I have an idea of where I'm looking for. I try to keep my suggestions to players that are only rostered in 20% of Yahoo leagues or lower. Similarly, how Nick Pollock does his SP Streamer article. And I was having a really hard time finding guys that weren't rostered and have really good matchups coming up. So I don't know if there's somebody that you guys might have noticed as you were looking around, or if you're just getting by with what you got.
I like to yield this section to you typically because you do write the article, Adam. But Profar, who I mentioned earlier, I think he's 22% Yahoo, and he has 3 stolen bases so far.
And San Diego's a team that likes to run, or at least has shown they like to run. That's a good call out. He did miss my cutoff. John Birdie was another one that missed my cutoff. He's exactly 20% rostered in Yahoo. as well. So there are a couple species in Miami likes to run as well.
I really don't have anyone. Maybe if you're like super desperate, Roman Quinn of the Phillies. He plays center field. His average and OBP and whatever is really horrible, but he's a total speed play if you really wanted to go that route.
Yeah, we talked about him last week as well. Yeah, I think he had a game where he stole two or three bases without starting the game. So he does have the wheels to do
and
so.
And I think that's what you hope for if you're
right.
If you have him in your lineup. You don't get that 0.45 average.
All right. And then we had a question. I put this player in the opportunity section. And Shelly, I'm going to ask you about your thoughts on Ardolis Garcia in Texas, who's played the last couple games in the outfield for the Rangers. Is there any reason to throw a spec bid on him continuing to not only perform, but actually play?
If you're in a very deep league, I think that it's okay. When it comes with Garcia, like when you look at his stats, power and speed, but you also see a lot of strikeouts. Like, I just don't think that he's going to make enough contact to actually have that power really play up. And then when it comes to speed, yeah, he's super fast. But when it comes to stolen bases, I don't really think that he's a really good, I don't really think that he is a good base runner. Because if you look at his caught stealings, like, it is so close to how many stolen bases he actually had back in 2019. So I am not the biggest fan of him. Believe me, I want him to prove me wrong, like totally. But it's like the Rangers, they're not really a good team either. So even if he does hit some home runs, it might be just solo jacks there because just the Rangers are really not that great. So I wouldn't really put too much fab in the upcoming fab period on him. But yeah, I just don't see it, sadly.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like he's in the spec category for sure for Shelly. He has been batting fourth the last four games. He's been clean up for the Rangers the last four games after getting called up from, I guess, technically the minors or the alternate site. So something he said, he's a righty though. So if he does get platoon, he's going to get that short side as well in Texas. So something to monitor. Kevin always says, here's the thing is, if you do like somebody like him, you got to spec on him now. You got to, even if you just throw a dollar at him this week, if you're not necessarily in an agreement with Shelly here, which I wouldn't trust you to do that, by the way, that you got to spec on him now because you don't have time to wait. Kevin, I'm echoing your sentiments from like one of our first episodes, and you have to throw that in now. You've got to be the one to kind of hold on to him for a week or two to see what he got, and then be willing to throw him back out into the waters when he doesn't perform as expected. But if you don't do it now, somebody else is going to, more than likely. Moving on to our pitchers in the wins and Ks category. These are guys, they might vulture a win here or there. They might have two starts next week, or they have a really solid single matchup coming up and they're available in your leagues. Kevin, somebody stood out to you, which every time I see this name on a list, it's always surprising. Who are you touting this week?
I'm looking at Danny Duffy. I think he's got a couple of nice matchups. He's going to be at home versus Tampa. Kauffman's always a nice place to pitch. And then he's going to Detroit later in the week. He's only 20% owned in TGFBI, 19% in Yahoo. So he's even available in some 15 teamers out there. Almost a strikeout an inning so far this season. He has 11 in the 12 innings he's pitched over two starts, which are both wins. So I like the matchups, and he's off to a good start. He, in years past, he's shown flashes, and he's looked like he should have been so much better than he has been at times. Other times he's performed such that he hasn't been nearly as good as he has made some wish that he could be. But so far this season, off to a good start. I typically don't like him in years past. I haven't, as a Royals fan, in right-handed heavy lineups. Of course, we know Tampa the platoons a lot, so they may stack some guys in there against him. Detroit is not as scary as they used to be. He was one of the teams that used to, Detroit was a team that used to give him fits They don't scare me like they did three or four seasons ago, obviously. And yeah, I will give Danny Duffy a shot with the two starts he has this week.
Shelly, any other two starters that you're eyeing for this week coming up?
Not really. Actually, Duffy was a guy who I was looking at and put a couple of dollars in TGFBI and other leagues. His velo has been up, and just going up against Tampa and Detroit, that's a really good two-step there. So I echo Kevin there with Duffy. I'm willing to just gamble there to get some good strikeouts and good ratios.
Yeah, I think everybody assumes that the Detroit matchup is the better matchup. But let's keep in mind that as good as a team as Tampa Bay has been, they definitely strike out their fair share throughout the last couple, at least last year and the year before as well. Keep in mind, as far as bids go, at least last week, the two start pitchers that are most popular across TGFBI, at least Wade Miley, Aaron Sanchez, and Johnny Cueto, obviously some of them didn't make their two starts. But they were going on average around, Miley's average bid in the 20 leagues he was picked up was $23. Cueto's was $41 and Sanchez was $22. These are averages. They all had slightly higher max bids. So you might have to go as high as 50, 60 bucks. They're two starters, especially in this day and age where your options are always going to be limited. You've got to know how much you need to bid in order to get these guys. So looking at those kind of trends is really important. And so to knowing that you might have to bid upwards of White Miley's max bid last week, who we talked about, ended up being $65, but he also went for as low as $4. So you got to know your league mates, see how much money they've got. In the early going, obviously a good chunk of people have at least half, if not much more than half of their FAB left. So they have a lot more flexibility. But as you're moving into the season, knowing what your teammates have going on and what they have been doing all season can really save you a couple of dollars here or there. And that's going to add up, especially if there is a hammer that is needed come Super 2 time or the trade deadline of a guy that's going to be more useful to your team for the remainder of the year.
So Adam, we should mention, we brought him up last week to pick up looking 2 weeks ahead. Michael Fulmer does get the Pirates and the Royals both at home in Detroit this week. And he did look good, or at least decent, in his start this week. So I did pick him up in a couple of leagues for really next to nothing, like $2. But he's a guy that I would consider this week still as well.
Nice. That's why those spec bids that we talk about going a week ahead of time, they can pay off. As long as obviously the pitcher keeps their schedule and obviously performs. I wanted to ask you guys about a recent performance of JP Brubaker and whether or not he is somebody worth keeping an eye on this week's FAB period, as he started the season off pretty strong. Shelly, do you have any thoughts on Brubaker, not as a two-start pitcher, but just as a guy who's showing something, getting stretched out, putting up really good numbers, and do you see that moving forward? Because if it's going to continue, his price is just going to go up, and he's still available. He's still available in 15% of TGFBI leagues, so he's openly available in 12-teamers. Is this somebody that's worth your time in 12-teamers just to see what we actually got?
100%. When I did, who do I own like the most in all of my leagues, like prior to the season, both in redraft and dynasty, it shocked me that JB Brubaker is my most rostered guy. And I'm like, oh, I guess I'm a JP Brubaker guy. And he's been just like totally killing it. And I'm here for it. Yeah, he's not going to be like a total ace, just going to light up your stat sheet, but he has been doing like really good things. He's not going to kill you. He can put up a decent outing, not blow up your ratios. He's just like that set it and forget it guy that you can just be like, okay, I know what I'm going to get for him. It's going to be just kind of okay production, give me Ks, not blow up my ratios, just that type of guy. So yeah, I'm a huge JP Brubaker guy or Gallo.
Obviously, with the Pirates, you might be able to get those strikeouts and the ratios. You're definitely not picking him up for any potential wins. And whatever you get in the win category there, I think it's just icing on the cake. Kevin, if he's available in my TGFBI, how much do you think I should be bidding on him for the keep, with the assumption that this is a guy that might will stick on my roster for a good chunk, if not the remainder of the entire season?
I have a question. How badly do you need him?
Yeah, that's
because he is always someone the question, that right? If I need him, I'd be willing to go a little higher on. But in most cases, as you've heard me say so often, he's somebody I'm throwing 4 to 5% at, knowing I probably don't get him. But if I needed him, I think he goes for triple digits in the TGFBI leagues, for example, that he's still available in. But if I needed him, I think it's to the point where I'd be willing to. I watched his start yesterday, not because I was watching him, but it was very impressive. I don't play DFS very often, but I did enter a couple of contests yesterday, and I had a couple of Brewers in my lineup, and he was just shutting them down every time they tried.
Making you lose money. Going. That's what he was doing.
Including Travis Shaw left 8 guys on base because Brubaker kept striking him out. Oh, it was horrid to watch, but as a brute, it was impressive for Brubaker.
All right, you heard it here. If he's still available, he's probably available in your 12 teamers. I know in my first come, first serve league, I grabbed him after his start, knowing hold on to him for a couple of days. This is typically a league that you pick up a starter the day before his start, just to stream a guy here or there. But I've been impressed with what I've seen, and I'm going to hold on to him for his next start. All right, the saves carousel continues across the league. And this is always.
Do we have to talk about this?
We don't have to talk it very long, okay? If Rafael Dolis is still available, I would say keep an eye on him. I would like to see how much he goes for in various leagues.
What if you dropped him last week?
Which happened plenty of times, Kevin. It wasn't just you, but he's available. Remember, we talked to Mike Gerlin in the first Fab period. He dropped Jake Diekman. In the first period, and then he literally won. He bid on him the next Fab period for triple. I believe it was triple digits or just under triple digits. This is the road we're on. It's not a fun one. It's a bumpy one for sure. But I guess Dolis is the one I'm curious the most about how much he's going to end up going for. He's available in quite a few leagues, and he's obviously there's no guarantee on how long he. First of all, there's no guarantee he has a job. I believe he does at the moment. But there's no guarantee on how long he holds on to it. You could have said the same thing about Cesar Valdez, and here we are. He threw 20 pitches yesterday, and 18 of them were changeups. And he's still striking out people. And for
at this rate, Williams Astadio is going to be the closer for the Twins.
Man, it's fun. So anyway, is there anybody else that you guys have noticed that is worth jumping in the pool for?
I think Graveman's going to be the other guy they – gets a lot of money spent this week. I've got a couple of guys in that I'm hoping, just like Tim said last week, I'd rather keep spending a few dollars all season long each week on a guy and eventually hopefully hit on one or two. I got Hansel Robles. I even started him. I believe they had 7 games this week. I started him, get some ratios, strikeouts. He did have the one hiccup. Didn't even give up a hit, but gave up 3 earned runs. That hurt. But overall,
well, he didn't give him up. I mean,
performing really well.
He just left all the bases. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Which is just cringeworthy when every time you have a reliever in the game and he gets relieved with guys on base, what's going to happen?
You can't watch that.
I had another guy as well. Oh, Lucas Sims, which was really interesting to me today's game. I still don't know if the Reds have this all figured out, but I believe Amir Garrett pitched the 8th and then Sims did pitch the 9th, but it was a tie game and they won it in the 10th. Interesting to me, it matchups. I didn't see the game, but looking at it on the ticker as it was happening, Garrett pitched the 8th, Sims the 9th in a tie game. Doolittle, I believe, then got the win in the 10th. So I'm still hopeful for Lucas Sims here as well. And on teams that I don't already have him, if he's available, it's worth a few dollars rather than throwing the big money at Doldys and Graveman this week, I think.
Shelly, I'm curious to know how this is all going down in Tout as far as the closer carousel and the aggressiveness of the bidding. Obviously, we've seen across different NFBC leagues some questionable bids, if you will, triple-digit bids, $300, $400 for Tanner's, the likes of Tanner Scott and Julian Merriweather and Cesar Valdez. How has it been in your Tout League with the group that you're playing with? Obviously, a good majority of them have a lot of experience in this. Closer carousel thing is not new. It's just really emphasized right now. Like, this has been going on for years, especially early on in the season. But I really feel like it's been overemphasized this year to start. What have you seen there as far as like the differences that you might have seen in your non-Tout leagues?
Yeah, it's been super aggressive when it comes to picking up guys who might get saves here and there. I double tapped closers in my draft. I went Hendricks, or I went Hader Hendricks. So I really haven't.
Nice.
Yes, it has been nice, except I haven't gotten the saves. Oh, where are the saves? So I really haven't looked really into trying to do save and closer like spec stuff, because I really do believe in both of those guys. But just looking at the transactions in Tout, that it's like any other league. When you don't have a closer, like in TGFBI, I don't have any. And I've just been like throwing money at relievers and it hasn't been going well. So yeah, it's the same in Tout, but I really just wish Hendricks and Hader would just come on and give me the saves, because it's really frustrating.
I think in those leagues, you're going to be fine, because I was looking at this today in some of my leagues, especially 15 team leagues, two saves can be sixth place in the save category in a couple of my 15 team leagues. So even in the leagues where I have zero or one save, I'm not real worried yet. A couple more weeks, I might start getting there. But when you have guys like Hendricks and Hader, it's just all about the health. And the saves for most teams are going to be so spread out. Having a couple of those guys is just going to be amazing as the season goes on.
Yeah, especially Hendricks, who obviously with the contract, he's got that role locked in. And with La Russa as his old school manager, he's going to obviously get him into as many closing situations as his arm will allow. All right. I think this week definitely calls for a couple spec bids, as Kevin mentioned. I know I was able to, because actually after talking to Tim last week, I was able to do that with Graveman last week. So I got Graveman in a couple places. I was pretty happy about that. Those are the types of spec bids that we were talking about that end up making all the wrong decisions fine, and you're fine with
exactly.
them. I'm fine with making $21 wrong decisions when I get one $2 correct decision that ends up being worth, we'll see how much it's worth when the bidding concludes this weekend for Graveman and the like. So no guarantee that he has a job there, but I think that's pretty much a done deal at the moment based on where he was used in the game one of the doubleheader, getting the save there with Montero being the setup, setting him up in the, I guess, the sixth inning. And then just overall Montero's performance in general has shifted him out of that role. All right. And then we got one wild card player I wanted to talk about at least. And I think, Kevin, you threw this name on there, so I'm going to let you take the lead on this one. And I think it's somebody we mentioned in passing last week. So why don't you go in a little bit more detail with him this week?
Yeah, I mentioned him briefly last week, and he's actually going to be the feature on the graphic for my article tomorrow morning. Newly acquired New York Yankee, Rougned Odor. I did mention last week, I have not been able to quit this guy. And this was all before the home run today for the Yankees. I do want to make that clear. I had this all planned before he hit the home run today. That home run, he's still 3-for-21 as a New York Yankee. However, he has played every single day. He has started every game since becoming a Yankee. Voit is out at least another month, it sounds like, at least till mid-May. With Odor, the Yankees seems to me believe they have someone they can work with, whereas with Jay Bruce, they know exactly what he is. If we're going to have a guy going out there going 3 for 21, let's work on the 27-year-old that's has multiple 30 home run seasons, multiple double-digit stolen base seasons. And prior to the shortened season, 4 out of 5 seasons, he hit 253 or more. I think that shocks a lot of people. I think prior to 2019. 2019 is when people soured on him for having his second season hitting below 210. But prior to that, 4 out of 5 seasons, 253 or higher. And I think the Yankees really believe they have something to work with here. He started every game at second base. Mayhew's playing first. And I think we're going to see this for the next month. And if he clicks, they'll find a spot for him. Just like we were talking with the Dodgers and McKinstry earlier, the Yankees have a lot of guys that can't stay healthy. And we know that. I'm taking a shot on Odor before he goes on one of his streaks that he always goes on. Whether he's going to be good or not, he's going to go on a streak if he's getting the playing time. So I'm grabbing him before he does and hoping that the Yankees can just come up with a tweak that over 30% strikeout rate did not start till 2019. He's still 27 years old. He had 5 seasons of below 25% strikeout rate. Not saying that's amazing. I'm saying that's much better than most people think Odor has done in the past.
Shelly, are you in Kevin's camp? You have not been able to quit Odor, or did you, you know, quit him like a bad habit, like a good majority of fantasy players in the last couple of years?
Yeah, I'm not an Odor fan. I just believe me, I understand how and know that he can like really just go on streaks. And then going to New York, just like Kevin said, he's going to get everyday playing time. That short porch, just everything. I totally get it. I just can't get on board with just the player himself. Yeah, I'm just not a big fan. A guy that I did notice that was available, who just came off the injured list for me, DJ Stewart in Baltimore. He's getting everyday playing time. So maybe he is on your free agent bidding roster or whatever. Like you can, you know, pick him up. That guy's kind of interesting too.
That's nice. Pretty much the only one in the Baltimore outfield that I was interested leading up to today was Cedric Mullins, and we talked about him last week. So it's nice to see some other names coming up who are available out of that outfield who are, you know, continuously going to get playing time. Do you see Stewart continuing to get everyday playing time in the Baltimore outfield, or do you think he sooner or later plays himself out of that situation, or is it a situation where you think he could keep it even after, say, Austin Hayes comes back?
Yeah, I really do think that he can really keep that everyday playing time. He's getting it right now. Hayes is coming back. Santander hasn't really played very well, even though he is getting that playing time. But I don't know. I really do believe in DJ Stewart. Just the power potential is there. And then Austin Hayes, just unfortunately, he has just not been able to stay healthy. So I would rather just bank on Stewart over Hayes.
Yeah, and worst case scenario, Hayes comes back and there ends up being more of a platoon of at least Stewart is the lefty on that platoon side, getting the majority of the at-bats, if that happens to be the case there. So something to keep an eye out. All right, we'll look ahead a little bit and check to see if we can find some more of those spec ads. We talked enough about the prospects that we might expect to get a call. So we're going to skip that group. You can rewind and listen to that again if you like. Kevin, have you noticed anybody who might be lining up for 2 starts willing to waste a bench spot on this week, or if they have good enough matchups this week, you get at least a single matchup as you hold on to them for their 2 start next week or the week after?
Yeah, I have a maybe, and he came up when I was looking into Logan Webb earlier, talked about him earlier in the show, and I talked about he may end up with a home start versus the Rockies and then a start at San Diego in 2 weeks. And the combination of him getting Philly this week and then possibly going to San Diego. I'm just kind of not out on that. But Anthony Desclafani is available in a lot of 12-team leagues. And if he were to get the two starts, and definitely at home against the Rockies, I'm using him. It's worth picking him up for that anyway, in my opinion. So I'm grabbing him. And even if it did line up that he was going to then go to San Diego in the same week, a lot of people were really on Desclafani last year, and he disappointed. So far this year, he's looked great. And another start or two, he won't be available if he continues to perform. So he's somebody to grab now.
Nice. Shelly, anybody else stand out for you that you're looking two weeks down the road, whether it be a starter you might get two starts, or maybe a bench hitter that has a good schedule coming up, or what have you?
No, I didn't really notice anyone as well, but I will totally agree with Kevin with the Tony Disco love. I have been a fan of Discofani since he was with the Reds, and he's looked really good with the Giants. So, yeah, if he is available to pick up, I totally would jump on all over that.
All right. Let's wish everybody happy bidding on those players and anybody else that you might be looking at. If there's a player that you're thinking about bidding on and you want us to discuss them and you want to let us know, you can email us at onthewirepod@gmail.com or by shooting us a DM over at Twitter @onthewirepod. Of course, you can also join PL Plus over at pitcherlist.com, where you can get access to the Pitcherlist Discord and the advice and banter of over 800 members, including all the incredibly smart staff, like the three people that you're listening to right now, just waiting to help you win your league. It's going to wrap us up, and I want to take time again to thank Shelly for joining us for this episode. And Shelly, can you remind everybody listening where they can listen to you elsewhere or read your work and anything you might be working on that they should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank both of you guys for having me on tonight. I write over at the Dynasty Guru. I have like a bi-weekly piece there. It's called like Letters to the Editor. It's just like things that I'm thinking about. And then I also podcast over there as well. It's like Dynasty focused. The podcast is called the Dynasty Guru, Dynasty's Child. And it's, if you want to listen, it's fun. But then I also podcast, I do prospects and just like a Red Sox recap over the Monster. And I write over there as well. So you can check me out at those two places.
And I like to say, I said this on Twitter, but I'll say it on air. Shelly made a point to pick the best logos for her rankings sheet. So if you follow her on Twitter and you can find her ranking sheets of give her the credit for picking some of the best logos for the teams rather than just, you know, grabbing the first ones that she saw. So kudos to you on that one. Those are nice to look at. If anything, I look at your rankings regularly just to admire those logos.
I'm glad that you enjoyed that too, because it was really fun, like picking like the best logos I could find for the team. So yes. I'm glad that someone noticed.
All right. Thanks again to Shelly. This is going to do it for us for this week's On the Wire. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and leave a rating and review is always appreciated. You can follow myself on the Twitter @80grade, all spelled out, and Kevin @HastingKevin. And keep an eye out for Kevin's weekly Fab preview article every Sunday. Kevin, is there anybody, you have any nuggets from that article that we didn't discuss today coming out?
As I mentioned, I'm focusing on Odor. I'm going pretty in depth on him tomorrow. I might try to convince some people, maybe even Shelly.
We'll see. I'll be tracking all the Fab bids in TGFBI and the NFBC main event. And so I'll look for Shelly's name to pop up and see if she was convinced with any bids. All right. You can look for that article from me, my Waiver Watcher article, where I break down a lot of the noticeable bids from the NFBC main event and TGFBI over on NFBC as well to look for trends. Both that article and Kevin's article can be found over at pitcherlist.com and by following @pitcherlist on Twitter. As we mentioned at the top of the show, we are a proud member of the Pitcherlist Podcast Network along with 20 other incredible podcasts. Make sure to follow @PitcherlistPods to get updates about every new episode that drops from each of them and give them all a listen. We wish you the best of luck in all your leagues and hope you win all of your bids by exactly $1. Thanks once again to Shelly Verstrate for joining us. And for Kevin Hastings, I am Adam Howe. And with that, we bid you adieu.